We're back on the local beat with O'Brien. It's brought to you by our friends at Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street here in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry and somebody we trust each and every week to bring us the local news here on the morning show. It is the one and only Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today, sir?
Good, Rocco. Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully you're staying warm as well, and that goes for pretty much everyone throughout northern and northeast Ohio now as we get that winter weather starting to come in, snowfall hitting the area for the first time, this season earlier this week. And, Dave, around the area, there's some agencies working to open warming centers. I know we saw this during the summer with the cooling centers when it got real hot, so now we're seeing it with the colder weather, these warming centers that a couple of local agencies are looking to open up as temperatures start to drop. So, Dave, what's the latest here?
Yeah, so groups like Place to Recover, opening warming shelters, Haven Center up in Lorain, a possibility there, and these available beds, they get filled first, right? So if local homeless or those kinds of support shelters get filled first, then warming centers are opened up. Sometimes in school gyms. Rooms with cots, fire departments have been used for this purpose, rec centers have been used for this purpose. Place to Recover, and Wendy Caldwell from Place to Recover told Lauren Hoffman and Bruce Bishop the other day that basically there's no specific place, but sort of more like a collection of places for people to go once the local shelters are full. They're trying to just basically make sure there's a place for people to go, when they need it. If they don't have heat or if the heat goes out, motel rooms are used oftentimes for this. Neighborhood Alliance, has some has vouchers and can put people up in hotel rooms for a little bit or hotels or motels. Taking men, women, children, there's the opportunity to you can call coordinated entry at area code 440-242-0455, 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. If you need to get into a warming shelter or if you need to find services like that, after hours and on weekends, the number is 440-830-1011. That's 440-830-1011 after 5 p.m. or on weekends. If you're in immediate need, you can always try Haven Center, through coordinated entry. That's up on East 30th Street in Lorain, open to single women, single men, and families. Catholic Charities on Carolina Avenue is open to single men. And basically, a lot of the officials, involved with this, they just want to have, the opportunity to have extra rooms to be able to take care of people. COVID-19 kind of made this, a little more difficult during the pandemic for people to get into these warming centers. But with the threat of the pandemic and of people getting exposed to other folks, just having a large number of people around, COVID-19 made it really difficult. And it's just basically going to get colder. Lake effect snow, wind chill, that kind of thing. So if people are in need, call coordinated entry. Again, that number is 440-242-0455 from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
And I know, this, I wouldn't say this is in response to an incident we had earlier this month, but this certainly should help prevent issues like we had earlier this month where 34-year-old Autumn Ball from Elyria, she was found dead in Cascade Park, likely because of exposure to the elements, as is written in the article here by Lauren Hoffman and Bruce Bishop. So certainly want to take advantage of those warming centers if you can. Again, great work by Lauren Hoffman and Bruce Bishop writing this up. And Dave, great breakdown from you as always, my friend. As the other story I wanted to talk about with you here this morning comes from our colleague Carissa Wojtek, which means we're making our way up to the wonderful city of Lorain. As city council in Lorain, they're going to revisit a permanent supportive housing project that we were kind of talking a little bit about off air. Dave, I know you have some good thoughts on this. So what was the latest from Carissa regarding this Broadway Commons project?
Yeah, so this is what's called permanent supportive housing. This would be a 62-unit apartment building. It would be built at East 21st and Broadway. The first is kind of Lorain. And what we're looking to do here, or what they're looking to do, I should say, is to make sure that the chronically homeless, those people who have been, out on the streets for up to or greater than a year, or who have been basically out on the streets, four times in the previous 3 years. There's a whole federal definition of this through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which also says that, the chronically homeless Again, and some of those folks might have, you know, mental illness, addiction, physical disabilities, that kind of thing. That represents about 20% of the national homeless population as of a couple of years ago, I believe. That was the situation. So I don't know what the numbers are right now. And HUD and some other, you know, supportive, you know, housing folks say, look, it costs more to put people in jail, put people in the emergency room overnight so they can stay warm, or if they have, you know, if they have exposure issues, hypothermia, or if, you know, or if it's too hot, you know, and they get dehydrated, things like that. It costs more to do that than it does to just house people. And this is kind of what's called the housing first model. And this is the idea that if you put someone in stable housing, you can give them services, social services, addiction services, mental health services. So that's kind of the idea behind Broadway Commons. It's a partnership in Lorain County between Eden, Inc. and CHN Housing Partners. Some concerns from council and also from folks in the city of Lorain about this. You know, it would be basically a multifamily residential building in mixed-use district. The concerns were, you know, whether or not it would tax sort of the city's police department. Some local business persons basically saying that, you know, they might consider relocating their operations outside the city. Councilwoman Mary Springowski had some issues about parking on the site, whether or not there's enough parking spaces. Other folks had said that, you know, Bridgepoint Commons down on East Bridge Street in Elyria had a number of high rate of calls, you know, for police to come over there and do this kind of thing. Now, one of the things that's been really touted over the past at least decade in the United States is how Utah basically cut down the whole state cut down on the number of chronically homeless people in their state. Over the span of 10 years, they developed a plan, and by 2015, they had cut the number of chronically homeless people in the entire state by 91%. Now their model again was this housing first. If you get somebody into a house, into an apartment, you can then deliver them services, right? Existing services. So they did that, and they cut the number of chronically homeless people from like 2,000 in the state that they knew of to fewer than 200 over that time. Now COVID-19 kind of you know fiddled with some of their plans to build more of these similar centers, but the creation of these centers, you know, out there, and again, Utah is not Lorain, right? But it costs multiple millions of dollars for the state to do that, political investment, that kind of thing. From a report in the April 2021 Deseret News, written by Katie McKellar, basically the quote was, "The Band-Aid is still in use even after the creation of three new centers to help the homeless. That cost Utah taxpayers $63 million." But there was an awful lot of what they called in that article, painful, not in my backyard debates, unquote. So there's some concern, and then possibly rightfully so. I mean, I'm not making any judgments on this, but there are people who are concerned that that this development that Broadway Commons would be a drain on local, you know, police resources. It would be in an area where people shop and where they work and where they live. So, sure. You know, council's going to have some more of these discussions as it goes on down the line. And there was some pushback to the folks at CHN Housing Partners who said that, you know, they're not going to pay anybody off. They're not going to do anything, you know, give money to people's campaigns to make, you know, this legislation happen, to make sure that the council, you know, crosses all their T's and dots their I's. So that's they said that's not going to happen. Hmm. You know, and this is real like specific funding, you know, coming out of the Ohio Finance Housing Finance Agency to CHN, to Eden. And the project, you know, still remains in a Lorain Council committee, and I'm sure Carissa will have more as time goes on.
So as always, you got to stay tuned into that Chronicle Telegram or that digital e-edition at ChronicleT.com for the latest, and we'll certainly have our eyes on that moving forward, Dave. As again, we're joined this morning on the hotline by the one and only Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram for this morning's Local Beat. It's presented by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you, Carissa, Ms. Hoffman, what are you guys working on this week as far as upcoming stories are concerned?
Yeah, so unfortunately, there was a... I know it's kind of big online right now. We had a post, unfortunately, a murder in Overland overnight. A suspect has been arrested. You can read more about that at ChronicleT.com or in the Chronicle Telegram and the print edition. I know that there was some work that that Owen was doing about Elyria City Schools and their teachers union reaching a contract. So he'll have a story coming up about that. I know that Owen and Carissa also had some leftover news, some leftover business from Lorraine and Elyria City Council that that happened on Monday. They'll be doing some follow ups. So if you want to know what your city councils are doing, you can always check out the Chronicle Telegram print edition or read on chronicletea.com.
Some leftovers after Thanksgiving, how fitting. And again, for the latest, there you go, right? As Dave said, check out the Chronicle Telegram or find that digital e-edition online for subscribers at chronicletea.com. All right, Dave, before I let you go, you know I got to squeeze a scanner story out of you. What do you got for this week?
Yeah, a fun one, a first timer. I was messing around on X.com, formerly the site formerly known as Twitter, and found a great one from a photojournalist by the name of David Yee, who works out in Berkeley, California.
Okay.
So first timer for David, we welcome him to the weekly scanner story lineup. But he tweeted on November 12th that the Berkeley, California police were responding to a call for a 242, which is the criminal code for battery, as in assault and battery,
right,
in California. Police responded to a call of battery via juice, assuming the juice drink.
Oh my gosh!
At University Avenue and MLK Way in Berkeley, California. So, so assault and battery by juice out in Berkeley.
I have so many questions, although this is in California, so I guess maybe we're better off not asking questions sometimes, but oh my gosh. Battery by juice. I feel like Netflix has got to be all over that with a documentary somehow, some way. But wow, a quick trip to California for this week's Scanner Story. Entertaining as always, and again, for the latest from Dave and his colleagues at the Chronicle Telegram, pick up a copy of that CT today or find that digital e-edition again online at chronicletea.com. Dave, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it as always. Hope you're staying warm this week, and we'll reconvene some more next Wednesday.
Sounds good, Rocco, and we'll catch you next week.